You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 296. This week, we talk about Wonder Woman, the lies. Visit welcometocomics.com, hear past episodes, see what we're reading next, or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now, the cast begins.
Grant and I finally watched Iron Fist.
Oh yeah, I saw his Facebook post.
Holy fuck, that was bad. Like, what?
Yeah, Metallia and I didn't even finish it.
The only thing I got out of it was, like, a tweet for, like, shows explained badly, and I don't even use Twitter. But, like, young man who enjoys fisting has vendetta against old Chinese woman. But Jesus Christ, that was so bad, and I was so disappointed because more than any of the others, that's the one I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't great.
No.
I think it's just not the right take on the character. He's too serious? I don't know.
He's so emo, and Danny Rand is chill. Danny Rand,
yeah, exactly. He uses, like, the Buddhist thing makes him chill. And it's super genuine in the comics, and doesn't come off genuine in the show. It comes off as, like, him just being a stupid fucking hippie.
Yeah.
You know? Because,
yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Because he's not a chill guy. If he were a chill guy to reflect the genuine, like, following of the Buddhist stuff that he inherited from Kunlun, then, like, awesome. But yeah, you're right. I think that's the other, like, that's why he comes off as just a dirty hippie, is that he's not chill. He's not, like, practicing what he's preaching.
Yeah, you can't tell if the show wanted him to be, and I'm not saying, like, people can't be this complex, but, like, they just didn't pull it off well, a child or having PTSD or just, like, having weird anger issues. And I think it was just too muddled for his character to really come together. So he's just like, yeah, I'm super zen sometimes, and he does Tai Chi, and then he just, like, gets really mad, but then you're like, dude, this, like, he gets mad about things that you don't think he should be mad about, but then later things that seem like they would be very upsetting don't upset him.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's actually not how finding balance always works. I don't know. Thank God for Carrie Ann Fisher. I loved her.
Yeah, she was good.
And Claire was Jerry Hogarth is played by.
I thought her name was Carrie Ann Moss.
Moss.
Something else.
Oh yeah, Carrie Ann Moss.
I have conflated two women who should
Carrie
not
Ann
be
Fisher.
who should not be conflated. It's early.
Well done.
Also, if Carrie Ann Fisher were a real person, she'd be the most amazing person. Carrie Ann Moss, yeah, she was really good as Hogarth, and Claire is the only fucking sensible person in that entire show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which one's Claire?
The sister.
Right? The lawyer sister?
No, the nurse.
Oh, Claire. Claire is Rosario.
Oh, yeah, night nurse. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I did make Grant start watching Glow, though.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was good.
You should watch Glow. You will love Glow. It's really, really good.
Wait, which, like, one of us?
Started,
both of us?
So, with, like, with Iron Fist, I watched a bunch of it. I got to maybe, like, 9 episodes in, and then it took me forever to finish it because I just didn't care anymore.
Aw.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think the show's not good, but I think maybe at some level, maybe it's not as bad as it is. Just, compared to the other Netflix shows, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Danny's a character doesn't pull off, but I feel like for me the biggest problem is the pacing. It takes like 4 episodes to see fucking Kung Fu in a goddamn Kung Fu show. You know, like to get a real honest good Kung Fu fight, it's not until after he like breaks out of the hospital.
Yeah, and they were not great fights. Like, no. Yeah, Daredevil had some really fun to watch fight scenes. I didn't see anything particularly engaging in this one.
Yeah, the best ones were with him sparring with Colleen. Those were the mm-hmm. best. Because then you got to see the punch counter, you know? So you got to see, like, the interplay, and they let it go slow enough, and you could follow it easily. But that wasn't, like, a quote-unquote real fight.
Yeah.
It was just them sparring. Yeah, we haven't even finished it. I don't know. It's, like, on the radar of things we kind of want to finish, but there's so many other things to watch. I don't know when we'll even get back to it.
My stance on these things is I have read enough comics that I can just make educated guesses if I'm mm-hmm. missing something to fill in plot holes, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we dropped off on S.H.I.E.L.D. too, and I don't think we have any interest in picking that back up.
Grant still watches that, like, religiously, and he doesn't like it, but he does.
He's pot committed?
Yeah, he's, like, in too deep, and now he can't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think I watched most of the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think. I don't know, actually, but then I just never picked it up again. I got to the part where they were like, in the first season, I think, where Deathlok was, like, a thing.
Yes.
And then I stopped.
Yeah.
And it always pops up on Netflix. I'm like,
he's barely a thing.
Maybe I should watch that.
I'd rather catch up on Flash. Flash isn't the one that we dropped, because Professor Zoom was just dragging on so long.
Yeah, I stopped all the CW shows. I stopped watching after I didn't have cable anymore.
Oh yeah.
And so now I just haven't caught up on it. I could go back and watch it. I mean, I liked the Flash, and I liked Green Arrow for the most part.
Yeah, Green Arrow started off strong and then got really emo and annoying. And then right as we started to peter out on the CW stuff, it started getting better again. It's him running for mayor and all that kind of thing, where he's like, you know, I think I'm in a place where I can be, you know, just like a good dude now.
Man, I didn't even know he ran for mayor. Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, in the comics he is mayor, but you know,
yeah,
he. So they had to go there eventually. But yeah, I think also the CW stuff got to be too much to keep up with, because there's Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, Gotham, if you really want to do it, and now there's Supergirl. It's like, it's the same reason we kind of stopped on all the Marvel stuff. Like, there was the movies, and then S.H.I.E.L.D., and then the side stuff, and it's just like, at a certain point, to like, the idea of keeping up with all of it is just too much,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, like, I want to watch Supergirl, and I kind of want to watch Flash. Now that Arrow's better, I kind of want to watch it, but I don't want to watch all of them. It's too much. It's one of those things, like, we'll go back when it's done, we'll go back and do it on Netflix. Well, hey, do you guys want to talk about this week's comic?
All right.
This week's comic.
This week we read Wonder Woman The Lies by Greg Rucka. This was the Rebirth Wonder Woman title that started last year. This is the last of our Wonder Woman 75, because last year was the 75th anniversary of Wonder Woman. So DC did a whole bunch of great Wonder Woman books, so we went back and read a few of them. This is the last of them, and I kind of think we saved the best for last, I want to say. But that's not fair, because Renee DeLiz's work and Jill Thompson's work were out of universe. This is a different perspective, because this is actually all four of them. This is the only one that's quote-unquote in-universe, like part of the canon. So it definitely has a different weight it needs to have. But I definitely like this one a hell of a lot more than Earth 1.
Really? Oh, okay. More than Earth 1. Oh,
yeah, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this tries to do the same things.
But before we get into, like, the meat of this book, I want to say that I think that the structure of this is really interesting, considering that this is a rebirth title.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it does a good job of reconciling, or, I mean, having only read half of it, half of the first volume, because this is the odd numbered issues up to 11.
Yeah, so right? They started with Wonder Woman at Rebirth. They did two a month, and the odd numbers were an ongoing storyline, and the even numbers were her origin, her year one.
Yeah. So what's cool about this is I think it does an interesting job of reconciling the New 52 storyline with the previous Wonder Woman continuity, and it did it in such a way that as soon as I finished it, I was like, is Volume 2 out yet? And then I went and looked and I found out, okay, Volume 2 is actually the year one part. But I want to read it because, I mean, generally I really like Greg Rucka's stuff.
Yeah.
And
this is not his first run on Wonder Woman, it's worth pointing out too.
No. What's cool about the year one portion is it's drawn by Nicola Scott.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm pretty excited to read what is, it's, you know, the trade is titled Volume 2. It's like Volume 2, Year 1. And so what's kind of weird about that one is it's 2 to 14. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where issue 13 exists in the two trades. Because what we read is Wonder Woman : Rebirth, and then Wonder Woman 2016 issues 1 to 11,
but only the odd numbers. Yeah.
But as far as I can tell, Volume 2, which is year 1, is 2 to 14 even numbers. So, is there going to be another volume that just has 13 like tacked onto the front? And what's weird is I looked on Comixology to see what the description of issue 13 is, and it kind of describes it as the conclusion of the lies, which doesn't make sense because I thought that the story was concluded, but who knows. Anyways. Yeah. That's like my commentary on, like, meta commentary of the where this comic exists within the DC universe.
Yeah, well, you're also talking about how this does a good job of, like, reconciling. I think you're just talking about, like, doing the new story plus the origin, but, like, I think what makes this comic special...
No. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, you meant, like, the whole, like, finding a place within the continuity of the universe thing, right?
Yeah, like, that how... Well, so, like, with Superman, prior to Rebirth, they said, hey, everybody... Is New 52 Superman? Not really Superman. I mean, it is Superman, but it's not Superman. And so there were two Supermen.
Mm-hmm.
There were two Clark Kents. But here, you know, there's only one Diana. And she has to reconcile her basically two sets of memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think where the story is going is interesting.
Yes. I find it interesting that you said, before we get into the meat of it, I think that is the meat of this comic. I mean, the surface level stuff is the
storyline with
Minerva and all that kind of, like, part of what I really love about this comic is that meta level commentary. Like, in the Rebirth one, Diana is having a discussion about how does the truth matter? Like, did I defeat Ares and become the god of war? Did I do these things? I have these memories, but they're not quite true. And I've got the lasso of truth and I'm making these statements, but I know it's a deception. And she says this whole thing, like, does the truth even matter? Like, do my memories even matter? And I was like, that is exactly the whole thing that DC is asking the readers, too. Because with Rebirth, they didn't have, like, a big event. They just said, here's our new universe, go. They didn't need, like, a final crisis or anything. Right? So,
sorry to interrupt. I would like one point of clarification from you. Could you just clear up for me? This is the first Wonder Woman run after New 52, right?
Yes. So it was correct. New 52, okay. And then there's this. And this, we weren't sure. Going into Rebirth, we knew that it was going to be the old Superman, and the New 52 Batman is going to be the main Batman of the Rebirth. But we weren't sure which Wonder Woman it was going to be, pre or post New 52. And reading the lies, you're not really sure which Wonder Woman it is.
Okay.
Because she kind of seems to be both, right?
Well, like she has memories of both. Yes. As her being crafted out of clay by Hippolyta, or being the daughter of Zeus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having banged Superman, and also maybe not having those, I don't know. You know, but also, like, well, no, I should say, having banged Superman and having had a relationship with Steve in the New 52, I mean, those two are mutually exclusive.
Right. So, but what's interesting
is trying to reconcile them both.
How Steve fits into the narrative, too, because he seems to remember that Diana had a relationship with New 52 Superman. Mm-hmm. And as far as Diana knows, that actually happened. So does that have more weight because Steve Trevor remembers it also? See,
I don't know.
Or does that matter? Does it even matter at this point?
That's the thing. Is you can wade into the weeds of continuity and figure out where this Wonder Woman falls in the timelines, whatever, and like do the final crisis and plot things out or whatever. But I really love Greg Rucka's meta-level commentary of it, too, of does canon even matter? Does continuity even matter? Like, if we move it into the universe, obviously it does. It matters for the character of Diana. But he's also trying to ask you as a reader, like, we didn't do an event. There's no storyline to tie this character in. There's no roadmap for how this person exists. We just kind of did this. Does that matter to you? Do you, the reader, even give a shit? You know?
Maybe you're asking a rhetorical question,
yeah.
But I think maybe I can try to answer it from a certain perspective. I think to some people, and even myself at a certain level, I do enjoy the continuity, but part of me enjoys the mess that continuity is in comics. Mm-hmm. But I think the answer is does continuity matter? For someone to enjoy the character of Wonder Woman, no, I don't think it necessarily matters. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, Wonder Woman's been around for 75 years now, right? And she's been very popular. She's been one of the big three from DC, but I mean, look how she exploded in popularity with the movie.
Yeah.
And to enjoy the movie, you don't need to know anything about the comic book character. But she's still Wonder Woman, and I think if you like the movie and decided you want to read the comic, I think that continuity might be off-putting to some people because of, you know, I think if you can't get over the fact that you don't necessarily know all the backstory to the point wherever you jump into the comics, it could be, trying to go back and figure out all the answers to that could be pretty daunting. I mean, even if you have like Wikipedia, if you went, I don't have Wonder Woman's Wikipedia page up, but I'm sure it's long.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you don't need continuity to enjoy Wonder Woman as a character. I think it could be helpful if you want to read the comic, but, you know, I mean, like, I started reading comics in earnest in the 90s, and even more so in the aughts, I guess, to 2000s. And, I mean, a lot of the characters that I love had been around for decades, and to me, I thought it was fun to go back and dig into the continuity and stuff. But not everybody's going to have that same desire or drive to put in the work, for lack of a better term. But you don't need to do that to enjoy it. Sorry, go ahead, Jen.
So I just keep interrupting you. You can finish.
No, he's done. Okay. It's your turn. Go. I'm checking
okay, down. So I want to offer a counterpoint to that, actually, because for me, the answer to do you need that continuity is yes. And I would say, no, I don't need the continuity to enjoy Wonder Woman as a character. You're spot on that. Like, I could go see the movie without any background, and I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure, like, I'd be happy with it. or I could pick up a comic about her without knowing anything and be like, okay. My problem is that I've only read Wonder Woman kind of, I think we've only read like 6 trades total, 7 mm-hmm. for this podcast. And then I see her a lot in passing. You know, she's a strong character. She has her own thing going on, but I'm not well versed in her history. And all I understood about this comic was the meta narrative and spent the rest of the time being like, I don't know what's going on. and to me as a reader, it was really like disengaging. I felt like, and that's why I asked you, is this the like New 52 and the first run in that? Because I felt like I had stepped into something for which the barrier to entry was really high with this. And I was kind of like, okay, if this is like new, then I can say, okay, that they're just kind of fleshing it out as we go. But it didn't feel like that. I felt like I was supposed to know things. And I felt like there should have been a framework for me that I just didn't have, and that it ruined the experience of this comic, because I was like, okay, that's cool. There's a lot of continuities and narratives, a good start. And then we get into it and I'm like, but I think I'm supposed to have any idea what they are to really grasp what's happening. So to me, it seemed like a lot of random people were doing a lot of random things, and I didn't feel like I had some of the like character archetypes to rely on. Cause I feel like, you know, they tweaked Etta Candy to be, I call her Amanda Waller 2.0 in the notes. She's like a lot
more.
That's who
I thought it was going to be until the name was dropped. I was like, oh, yeah. Amanda Waller.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, but then I was like, okay, so this, I have now disestablished my knowledge of who Etta Candy might be, because this didn't feel like the character that I did know. Because she wasn't like perky and sweet. She was like serious and military. Steve Trevor, instead of kind of being like the comics I've read, he's a little bit like a lost lamb. Mm-hmm. And in this one, he's like, okay, also just side note, I don't think anyone has been allowed to use the term Master Chief unironically since 2001.
Yeah, no.
but he's now the Master Chief.
That is in fact a military rank.
I know, it's just, he's fighting them halos now. Why couldn't you make him commander or something? I don't know.
I feel like this Steve is a lot closer to the movie Steve.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
But I was just...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay. And I mean, like, I don't think he's been super fleshed out in the other comics we've read, so it wasn't that big a deal. But then Wonder Woman, it made sense, because she's like, who the hell am I? What is the truth? I'm like, okay, there's a good thing going there. But, like, Cheetah? Oh.
See, you know, I'm going to interrupt. I think it's really interesting, because I think this is something you're bringing to the comic. I think you're bringing an expectation that continuity exists and that it matters to this comic.
Because I feel like I was told that it should.
Well, because this whole storyline with Cheetah is new.
Okay.
And this version of Steve is new. So what I was going to say, and what I appreciate about this comic, is that Greg Rucka, for the first 4 episodes of this trade, basically is telling you continuity doesn't matter. You can come to this book with nothing, and he does a good job of throwing you in with expectations, and if you just keep reading, the gaps get filled in. You come to understand what happened to Barbara Ann and with Diana. You don't know all the details. You don't know the events of what happened, but you can kind of get a general gist for what went on there. And Barbara Ann Minerva kind of comes back to herself and finds her form again. She gets a nice little arc. And you kind of figure, okay, there's been a dozen different versions of Steve, and you can kind of feel out this one a little bit. But you can kind of come to this and you can kind of get 4 issues in and kind of be like, okay, I don't know if this is New 52 Wonder Woman. I don't know if this is pre-New 52 or Rebirth, whatever. I don't know, but this Wonder Woman, I'm kind of feeling my way, and I guess it doesn't really matter which one she is. And so I go.
Oh, I think that's the thing, though, because I didn't feel like there was no expectation. I walked in and was like, okay, so here's all the stuff. And I didn't feel like he was saying, does continuity matter? I felt like I was being shown all these continuities and being like, so which one's real? And then I was like, I can't choose. I don't know any of them. Because at the end, I will say, like, because I had no idea what was going on with the whole Ares thing, I was actually really confused by that plot line until I looked it up after.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
Let me clarify myself
first. I feel like in the beginning, he doesn't, he just kind of brings you in and kind of pulls you along. But then at a certain point, he does turn it and he got me to the point where I was like, I don't care if this is New 52 version or pre whatever. It's not the same costume. I don't care. I'll just read it. It's a good story. It doesn't matter. I came to the point where I was like, it doesn't matter. I'll just figure out which version of Wonder Woman this is as I read. But then when she starts having the conversation with Steve, and that's kind of the first part where Greg Rucka brings up the question of, does it matter? It kind of matters if this is the Wonder Woman who sleeps with Superman or the Wonder Woman who sleeps with Steve. Like, it matters. Those are very fundamentally different people to have a relationship with.
It's funny that that's the question that makes it matter, though.
That's what first starts to come up. And then when they finally get to the mascara, because the whole time it was just a question of, I can't get back home. And that could be a in-universe question, right? That can be mm-hmm. just within containing the continuity question. But you come to find out that the question is she can't get back because there's multiple continuities coming in here.
Okay.
I feel like you kind of start the question of, does it matter? I guess it matters if she was the Superman sexing or the Steve sexing Wonder Woman. I guess it kind of matters. It could be both. You get to a certain point, you're like, she slept with them both. It doesn't matter that much. And you can kind of resolve that in your head. But then when they get to the mascara, you're like, no, it really fucking matters which Wonder Woman this is. And he makes you care which continuity it is. Like at the beginning, he has me like, I don't care. But at the end, by the end, I think he brings up the question of which the mascara is the real one. Like, Diana's believing that the years that she was going to the New 52 one, that was reality or wasn't reality. Which of the mascara is the quote unquote real one? Which continuity belongs here? Because Steve doesn't fit in this, the mascara, but Diana still feels home, but doesn't quite. She's also remembering that people should be there that are not there, and things do feel off. Her mother looks different and feels different. Like, the whole thing with the plant god monster and everything, that's just an adventure. But when you get into the fundamentals of what make her Diana, that's when it really does matter, the continuity and the canon. And I really love that commentary and how Gregor just kind of brings you into it slowly. And then at the end, you're like, ah, damn it. I guess I do care. The whole time I've been like, yeah, it doesn't matter, but now it does.
So I feel like understanding the comic hinges on understanding the end, and I read it and I was like, okay, it's not the right one. But it didn't, like, strike me that, she can't figure out which continuity. Like, that, I did not get that until you told me that's what was happening. So I guess my
this is very much the fucked Zeus Hippolyta and not the molded you out of clay sweetly Hippolyta. Okay.
Because I didn't know that. And I was like, I guess she's upset, but my whole problem with this comic is I was told that we don't know what the truth is, but then predicated on that, I had no idea why anyone was unhappy. So I'm like, y'all are really concerned with things, and I don't know why, and I can't care if I don't know why. And I don't even think that I needed to have a continuity reason for why. I just felt like the continuity would have opened the door for me, because having zero background in this, I was like, I don't know what the hell is happening.
Yeah, and so, I guess... I got to the point of continuity matters, I guess, when it was is this the Wonder Woman that bangs Superman or the Wonder Woman that bangs Steve? That's where I was kind of like, I guess it does kind of matter, but if you're a more hardcore Wonder Woman fan, the idea that she has cured Minerva is insane. This is like one of her longest arch nemesis. This would be like Batman curing the Joker.
Oh.
Right? Like, it is one of her longest, longest standing villains. The idea that you cure her and now make her an ally, that's, like, if you're a Wonder Woman fan, that is busted up continuity immediately. Like, I don't know what universe this is, but that is fucked. You know? That's a bold, bold move for Greg Rucka to make. To be like, yeah, primary arch nemesis cured. Done.
Did not know that context was in place. Makes it more interesting.
Yeah, but I think that's something that if you had the continuity, you could bring to it, but it's not necessary for your enjoyment of this comic. And I think that's him starting that commentary. Like, are you a real fan? Do you know the continuity? Because then you'll know that this is fucking insane. And you'll feel like something's off right away. So I don't know. Maybe there's another Barbara Ann that's going to come in and still be Cheetah. I don't know how you have
one. There's been more than one Cheetah, right?
That's true. There has
been. Yeah, there's been like 4 or 5 of them, I think.
There's always a Cheetah in Wonder Woman comics. That's true.
You know, having not read Volume 2 yet, I wonder, since that is like the year one origin story, I wonder if reading that basically says, okay, this is the origin story.
Yeah, it's going to have to, right?
Otherwise, it's like a waste of 12 issues or whatever, or 6 issues, theoretically, right?
Yeah. But I don't know, in case you can't really tell, I love this commentary and the way it kind of subtly pulls you along without noticing. And you can just read this and have fun. You totally can, but I really do think if I wanted to sit down and go back over this and, like, look for things, there'd be a lot to find. In terms of, like, discussion of continuity and canon, does it matter, does it not matter, does the truth matter? I love the lasso of truth. Like, wrapping yourself with it. To figure out if you even know it's real.
That's that was smart. Good, yeah.
I did like that. Oh, man. There was one moment this, I forgot it was, made me laugh out loud. I think it was some look that Cheetah gives. Oh, no, it's when Wonder Woman is working with Cheetah and they go and they rescue, I think it's Steve, and Steve gives her a look like, are you fucking crazy right now? Just like a panel, it's just a look. Oh, God, I have to figure out where it is. It's when they're fighting the god monster thing and freeing the girls. What did you guys think of that story, just as like a non-meta-level discussion, the penis monster
man? It's goofy. It's goofy as fuck.
I am plant masculinity. God.
Well, where's this penis thing?
I didn't notice the penises.
You oppressed women had the power all along, and it didn't matter that you were being, like, made slaves and raped, you just had to realize you were strong. Like, for real? For real? Is that what we're doing now? Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Like, there's... Did we just ignore the fact that it seems like Cheetah has been raped multiple times? Because that's like, the fuck? Dude.
That's why she hates Diana. Because I think we're supposed to understand that she blames Diana for putting her in this situation, which then that grows the hatred more and more and more.
Okay, I just feel like the comic was like, this is the basis for their enmity, but not a problem in and of itself. And it's like, I don't know, it's just like so weird. Plant Wolfman hoards virgins in jungle. Everyone worried about it, right? Like, okay.
I know that, David, there's a part of the ritual where he's got, like, a vine, and it kind of looks penis-y, and he cuts it in half, and he sprays the blood all over Steve. And then the plant thing, I don't know. There's a lot of veins that kind of look, a lot of vines that kind of look veiny, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, because you're being very clear about it.
I don't know, I guess you just didn't. I guess I just look for dick more than you do. I don't know.
Oh, he like cuts the part off and there's like blue stuff and he draws on Steve with it, that part?
Yeah. Doesn't it look kind of phallic to start
no.
with?
No. Not particularly.
I don't know.
Maybe, it's just maybe the end of a vine.
Maybe I was looking for that because I'm like, it's a Wonder Woman comic. There's got to be gender commentary.
Well, you know what? Actually, you know, I'm looking at the panel where the vine first appears. And the warlord guy is holding it up. And he says, his is a male presence.
Yeah, right. Ageless. That's what I'm saying.
You put it in the context of the dialogue, I could see where your mind
okay.
Thank got you. Penis from.
You can see where I got penis from. That's great.
And then the very next panel, he says, and what do we desire most?
Yeah. What does the penis and the masculine entity desire the most?
Well, Steve says he likes whiskey, and the other guy says power.
Yeah.
Steve also likes cuddles.
That's true.
See, that was... the whole episode was just so on the nose. It's like, here is the acceptable man and the unacceptable man. An acceptable man is still manly, but likes cuddles. I don't know. Like, I'm being a bitch right now. I understand that. But it was just so goofy. It was just so freaking goofy.
No, I mean, it is the gender stereotyping of the masculine force plant god thing is really over the top. Even without Dick Vines, it's like, even if you don't see Dick Vines in this comic, there's a lot of like, a real man is powerful and has other weaker men follow him, and then the women will come.
Because that's what women well, think. You know, I think that's what you're supposed to think. But then, you know, the quote unquote power, the image of the powerful man is summarily defeated by woman and real man.
Yeah.
Steve. That's what I mean, Steve. So, you know, it's actually, it was all a ruse, because the typical imagery associated with being a manly man is actually wrong.
Yeah, because that character...
And it's just a green...
That character's actually afraid of and hates women.
Yeah.
It's just
but not Steve Trevor.
Mind. No, Steve not is not Steve afraid Trevor. Of women.
No.
Steve does not hate women.
Green penis vine.
For Steve, it's complicated.
Hashtag green penis vine.
That has to be, you know, the... Go.
It's plant Diablo.
Yeah. He does look like Diablo, doesn't he?
It's Diablo.
A female. Isn't Diablo a woman?
No, in one incarnation.
I thought Diablo was male.
There's one version that's female. I think Primeval Diablo?
Wasn't Primeval Diablo like the king's son? The prince?
With like three heads?
The Geminis forehead? I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't know about my Diablo continuity.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Diablo.
With cannot wait for Tucker Kane to be in fucking Heroes of the Storm. But that has gotta be the worst picture to carry around of the person you love. It's like a mugshot from a prison thing or a jail thing.
She's got like a quirky smile.
Yeah, I guess.
It's blackmail material.
Remember the time you got arrested?
Yeah. He's like, if you ever tell anyone about blah, 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 I will fucking release this to the press.
You know what, though? That picture is going to come around, because it's going to be one of those things where that only could have happened in one continuity, not the other. So she has to tie into whether or not that picture is real and really happened.
What's going to happen is Steve Trevor's going to die. And Steve's going to die, and somebody's going to find that picture, and it's going to make his death even worse. Or something.
Oh no.
Either way, that picture's got to have a lot of higher meaning.
So, well, yeah.
What about the other, the big bad that they're building for the continuity of the story? That I don't remember her name. I just wrote Empire Lady in the notes. Empire Enterprises Lady. Shit, what was her name? I don't have the trade near me in case you can't tell.
Let's see. Oh, it's Dr. Veronica Kale. With strange bolding on doctor and last name, but not first name.
Dr. Veronica Kale.
Okay. Exactly.
Likes Kale.
So when it's bolded like that in the comic, you're supposed to read it a little heavier? Is that really? I always thought it was just like a make it easier to read thing.
I don't think you're supposed to put emphasis on it, but I had to read it like that because it's just better.
Yeah, I was going back and forth. Yeah, she doesn't seem particularly imposing yet. I don't know.
She has evil dogs, though.
Cool dogs.
She has evil dogs and evil LMD of Sasha Fierce. I mean, Sasha Bordeaux.
Well, no, so Sasha Bordeaux was a cyborg before.
Oh.
Right, but she's like full-on robot now in this one, right?
Maybe just her head.
Then that's baller of Edda to just turn around and fucking shoot her face off.
Well, she was scared. I mean,
and if Edda is Amanda Waller 2.0, then it makes sense because Waller was White Queen. Or was Waller Black Queen of Checkmate?
I don't know.
I think Waller was White Queen.
Sasha Bordeaux was Black Queen, and the reason I know that is because I have a Heroclix figure.
Dude, I know, because that Checkmate comic was good back in the day.
No, it was. You're right.
That was a good comic.
Oh, okay. So I googled Sasha Bordeaux. She was OMAC Cyborg.
Yeah, that's right. Came out of Infinite Crisis, right?
Yeah. So maybe Dr. Kale is not Brother Eye, but Sister Eye. Or Sister Ear? I don't know.
Waller as head of Checkmate. So maybe Waller was... I don't remember. I don't remember where she came in, though, at that Black Queen, White Queen thing. We should read that one. That was a really interesting attempt to take on S.H.I.E.L.D. Because that's something that's big in the Marvel Universe and, like, does not exist in DC. There's not an overarching police force the same way there is in Marvel. That just doesn't exist. And their DC's take was really interesting with Checkmate. We'll have to give that a try one day.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll add it to the list.
Alright.
I had this thing planned out for like 2 months and we're finally catching up to it. Now I don't know what the fuck we're going to do coming up here. So we'll have to talk about that. But yeah, she didn't seem particularly difficult. Neither did, I mean, nothing here seemed threatening, I want to say. The most threatening thing right now, as the comic ends, is Hippolyta. And the fact that maybe it's all a ruse. And this version of Hippolyta and these Amazons seem far too savage and cruel. Not savage as, like, savages, but savages and, like, badass.
Well, they look like they're from a Mad Max movie.
Yeah. Yes, that is exactly what I was going to say.
They seem a lot more hardcore than this continuity of Wonder Woman is prepared to be part of. Like, this Wonder Woman that we've been reading up till now is not from this, the Mascara. And Steve should not be there at all. Like, Hippolyta says so, and I'm of the opinion to agree that he should not be there, even a little.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm most afraid of right now is the other Amazons and the Mascara. I had no doubt that they were gonna defeat Cadjulo and Urzbrook's whatever monster god thing, and Dr. Veronica Kale, yeah, whatever. Oh man, if it had been What was the bitchy singer's name from the Renee DeLiz one? From Legend of Wonder Woman.
I don't remember, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that would have been great if it was that character.
Well, she would have been Edda's archenemy.
Yeah.
Would have been good.
That would have been wonderful. I would like that. But I don't know if that character is from continuity from before, if Renee DeLiz invented that character.
She could be, because... Does continuity matter, Greg Rucka?
Who knows?
Maybe that's your secret. Maybe you just stumbled upon the truth, Andy.
Yeah, that's the real
within the truth within the lies.
Ah, oh, it's something with a P. Oh, goddamn it.
Penny? No, not Penny.
Ugh, it's gonna kill me. I'll look it up. You guys keep talking. Talk amongst yourself.
So how about like that last freaking scene where it turns out Wonder Woman has a vampire bite on her wrist, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I have no idea what that's referring to.
Was that supposed to have been from Cheetah, maybe?
I don't think so. She says it was years ago before I met you. And then she was riding on the plane and then saw, and then, like... reality exploded after that and she starts crying. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's gonna have to be one of those. We'll answer it later.
I was gonna say maybe Dracula's the main villain, but he's in Marvel and I don't think he's in DC.
Okay, that I tried looking it up, I can't find it. God damn it.
This is I would read that comic where they just, like, redid the whole thing and they're like, now Wonder Woman fights Dracula.
I mean, are there vampires in DC?
Yeah, there's that eye vampire guy. I just said it. You weren't even paying attention to me.
No, I wasn't.
I remember that guy. Eye comma vampire. Remember.
Wait, is that for real his name? Or is that the name of the comic?
The comic might be. It's eye comma vampire.
I'm just imagining some emo kid whose emo parents literally named him that. Hi, vampire, finish your Brussels sprouts.
Well, it's like the family
oh,
who
wait.
Named their...
Sometimes he's eye ellipse vampire.
There's the Knight family. They named their son Jedediah Isaac, so it's Jedi Knight.
No.
Yeah, you haven't seen that?
No, not okay.
Jedediah Isaac Knight. Jedi Knight.
Oh, eye ellipse vampire is created by JMD Matthias.
Hey, huh. It's probably really good then.
We should read it.
There we go, add it to the list.
List. The list is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, God.
I just want to read the comic so we can spend a whole episode saying I come a vampire.
I'm down, I'll do that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
We just went way off the rails here.
Pamela. Yeah. Pamela was her name.
Pamela.
That was so close.
What is her last name? Oh, God damn it. Fuck you, Tumblr. You don't help me.
Tumblr?
It's the first thing that came up was somebody's big-ass Tumblr post about how much they love Etta Candy and Legend of Wonder Woman. So my initial reaction was, fuck you, Tumblr. What do we like? Do we like Steve in this? I really like Steve in this.
Yeah. I do like Steve, but I'm kind of upset that he stole Oliver Queen's look, but nobody's perfect.
Yeah, that's right, a little bit.
That's fair.
No, but to be in all seriousness, yes, I liked Steve in this comic. I thought he seemed cool. I want to hang out with him. Not when he goes to the jungle, but...
No.
I appreciate that they struck a balance between the badass hero Steve, because like Rene DeLiz, he's the heroic hero of the war pilot Steve Trevor, right? And he's famous in Legend of Wonder Woman, and I like that he's obviously a badass. He's Master Chief and spy thing in some organization that does operations around the world with a black ops team. That's pretty badass. But I like that he also maintains some of the arm candy stuff. Like, he's totally carrying that crush and swooning for her hardcore. And I don't know how long it's been, but still be carrying around that picture. Like, he's never going to let her go. So I like that this is both Steves at once. This Steve would be happy to put up his gun and be arm candy Steve if he could, but he can't. So instead he's going to be badass Master Chief Steve. It's a good balance between the two Steves that you typically get.
Yeah, and I mean... I think he was actually one of the more well-rounded characters in this. Like, you get a sense of, like, some of his feelings, whereas I think for a lot of the people here, they're a lot more one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There are a lot of characters and not a lot of time for them, so that's totally understandable. That's not, like, a fault in the comic.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because you also have to build the whole storyline with Etta and Sasha and Dr. Veronica Kale. You have to build that whole story. And you have to build the whole plant god masculine thing and Minerva's relationship with them there. Like, there's a lot to build in just a couple episodes here, or just a couple issues here. And then you also have to put in the commentary of does continuity matter and canon and all that shit. Being truth within the story of the thing. Like, yeah, there's a lot going on. So some characters are going to kind of fall through the cracks. It's just going to happen. But it's fine. You got a long run. They'll come up later. It's cool. Or maybe if we read volume 2 and read the evens, maybe we get more Etta development there. Maybe we get more Sasha development there. I don't know. How about the art in this? Right?
Faces, oh my. Especially, there was one that really stood out, two scenes actually. The one where they first show you what Barbara Ann looked like before she became Cheetah.
Yes.
And that one was kind of like, no, go back, go back.
Yeah.
The furry was better.
Dude, her furry face was really good, though.
Yeah, it was actually really expressive, and I think that's hard to get right when you do, like, humanoid animals.
Yes.
And then the kiss scene. They devoted, like, a whole page to it. It just... There's something about the faces that it doesn't look right.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, there's some stuff this art does really, really awesome. Some of the fight scenes are great. Like, there's a scene where she's, like, punching at the hyena dudes left and right, and it's, like, a full page, and it's fucking badass. But then, yeah, there's that Minerva flashback that I'm just like, that doesn't feel right. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it, but that doesn't feel quite right. But then Cheetah's face is fucking amazing. It's drawn really well. It's consistent. It has its own features that are consistent from issue to issue to issue. It's expressive without being creepy or weird. It's really, really well done. That face is perfect. And even Steve's face is done really well, too. Diana's has some kind of continuity, like, issue to issue. It kind of varies a little bit sometimes here and there, which might be a thing. I don't know. It might be on purpose. But I think that full-page kiss, because New 52 Wonder Woman had the full-page reveal kiss with Superman. It was the whole, oh my god, they're making out in space or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is then the continuity answer to that page. If this is the New 52 colliding with pre-New 52 Wonder Woman, then this page is the answer to that page. So I can see why this needs to be a full-pager. But I didn't feel like it mattered that much. There's not that many full pages as I'm reading this. So to come and turn the page and get a full page splash of a dialogue-less kiss, it didn't feel like it had that weight within the story when I got there. That's my, like, the quality of here or there and how it looked. I actually think she was redrawn really, really well in a t-shirt and jeans. But, like, I didn't feel like it, that the weight of the moment merited a full page splash. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I guess you got to do it. Sure.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I felt like they were kind of downplaying the romance for a lot of it. And then it's suddenly like, romance is a big deal. Okay. That's cool, man.
See, but that's what I'm saying. Because I think that's when you're supposed to realize that this is both Wonder Woman at the same time. Like, that. I don't think the romance matters. I think what it means for hope, where Greg Rucka hopes the reader is at when they get there. That's what matters. Like, it doesn't matter who she banged. It really doesn't matter whether or not she's good at love or romance or whatever the bullshit she's spinning for ditching it for years. Like, I think within the story, the romance doesn't matter, but, like, that's, I don't know, maybe just because that's when I got to, I guess it matters. It matters to me whether or not this is the Superman sexing Wonder Woman or the Steve sexing Wonder Woman. So when they had that discussion, it mattered to me because that's when I was like, I guess this canon does matter. Like, this commentary that he's building, this is where I come to the commentary. So maybe that's why I'm, like, going to let that whole transition slide. Because you're right, it was a hard transition, but, like, it worked on another level when I was reading it, so... Maybe I'm just, like, glossing over it in my mind that it was, Was there a scene that stuck out to you guys at all, art-wise?
That face.
A good scene. when Steve's team get out the Jeep and they're like, are you all seeing this? Is this natural, right? And it's like, the different layers of the mountains with the vines and shit. Like, that was, like, I think that's what this artist does incredibly well, is the vines and the scenery and the details of the background and the details on the character. The little details are done really well throughout this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Just looking through, like, all the backgrounds, like you said, the mascara looks pretty cool. I actually really like how it's rendered in this as kind of this, like, wasteland type of place.
Mm.
It's just Australia.
It's just Australia.
Mad Max.
That is a big island to lose. Yeah. How about you, David? Is there anything you remembered? Or stuck out to you?
I like that. Actually, the cover, I don't know what issue it is because they're not numbered, but it's the issue when Diana first shows up and frees the... It's the one right after your penis scene, Andy.
My penis scene?
Yeah, and it has the, like, tree guy and Steve on the altar. I just think that's a really cool cover.
Oh, which one? I don't know which issue that was. I don't know which issue my penis scene is in.
But, yeah, I thought the covers were really good. This actually came with... The Comixology version came with a variants gallery at the end, and there's some...
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff in there.
Yeah.
Variant cover for really number good. 7. Actually, all the variants are, like, pretty amazing.
Yeah, when... Oh, who did that cover? Cover by Jenny Friesen?
The 3 by her number 7 is so good.
Really good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, a lot of these are fantastic.
I thought it was cool in the... I guess it's in... Issue 1 where Diana's having like her internal monologue about truth and she changes into her like original style costume.
Yeah.
But that was cool.
Yeah.
I guess it's not really her original, but that's like her more well known costume. Because the original one has like Star Spangled Hot Pants.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, like
let's rate this. Alright. How about you go first, David?
I really enjoyed this and And like I said, I'm really looking forward. I really want to read Volume 2, so I'm gonna give this a 4. I think it's a good Wonder Woman story. The like little adventure part in the jungle was cool, but I really liked the way Greg Rucka addressed the two continuities that are coming together in Rebirth, and it's really making me want to read more. So. I'm definitely going to give this a 4, and I think it's cool, too. I think this is a good starting place for somebody who's interested in reading Wonder Woman for the first time, because you kind of get a peek, like, say, you know, if you're a new reader, you go, oh, yeah, these things happened, but definitively, this is Wonder Woman's origin story, and you can go from here. So I think that's really, really cool.
I'll go next, since I usually assume I'm going to change it up. I'm going to give this a 4.5. The only half point I'm taking off is because the art had some weird places that kind of took me out of it. But I think this is what people like Grant Morrison try to do and then get too weird. Greg Rucka writes a really good story and works on multiple levels. And there's the level of bringing multiple continuities together. But then there's a level where he asks on top of that, like, do you as a reader even care? Should you care? Does it matter? I mean, obviously it matters to Diana, but does it matter to you? Do you need an event? Did you not need an event? Like, at what level does the quote-unquote truth of this universe matter? Does it matter which Diana this is? Does it matter who she has slept with? Does it matter which the Mascara she's from? Does it matter which cheetah this is? Does it matter whether or not she cured the cheetah? Like, asking those questions in a subtle way, but directly to the reader. I mean, that's like... It's multiple levels, and you can just read this to read it as like, oh, worlds colliding, New 52, this continuity thing. You can read it and have fun that way. You can read it as just a cool adventure in the jungle. It works on so many levels, and it doesn't get off-putting the way that comics like this normally do when they try to make a meta commentary about continuity and whether or not it matters to the reader. So often those comics get weird, and I'm thinking directly of Grant Morrison like every time I say that. But this is a great example of how you can have that commentary, have it work, and draw the reader into it slowly and buy in. At least that was my experience reading this. And then have the discussion and have them come to the realization and have them come to it from different ways. And I just really, really like this. I'm excited to read Volume 2, the Even Issues, and then see where we go after the lies. I'm really excited to see how this commentary continues and, like, even on the lower level, too, like, which the Mascara is this one from? What Wonder Woman is this? What Diana do we get now? I don't know. I want to know. So yeah, 4.5. I really like this. Jen?
I have to give it a 2. I felt like there was a really big barrier to entry for me on this, as I said earlier in the podcast. I really did like the meta-narrative. I thought that it was interesting, and I thought that it was a good question to ask and a really good way to pose it. But I felt like the answer was too much of a yes to do I need to know, like, any background? Because it never resolved for me until I drew on outside sources, like, why there was a problem. And I think a lot of that is because I didn't know about the whole, like, Zeus-Ares continuity at all. And not having any of that context made this, like, okay, yes, Greg Rucka tells us. He often gives us the, like, am I Ares or am I not? Like, the God of War thing with Wonder Woman. But I think without the extra background, it's really hard to figure out why that's troubling or significant and how it fits into this whole confusion that she's experiencing. It's really hard to tell truth from lies when you have zero context for either. And when you can't even tell that, it's hard to say which one matters. That said, I did like the overall, like, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm going to remember it, actually. Like, a year from now, the stuff with Cheetah, the stuff with Steve Trevor, I don't think this is going to stick in my memory. I spent a lot of it being confused. Some of the art I really did like. Some of the art I had problems with. Mm-hmm. Some of the plot points, I was just like, what the hell, really? Yeah, I talked about those earlier.
Yeah.
Like, after talking about it, like, it's just, it didn't make it any better, even though I have more clarity. And maybe someone coming to this for the first time with no background won't feel as, like, as much like they're just drowning in what the heck's going on. But it didn't work for me. And I think I probably would have enjoyed this a lot more if I had had more background with Wonder Woman. On the other hand, like, it's not like I don't read comics at all, so even knowing, like, some stuff and some of these people and some context for New 52, because I did read a lot of the parallel runs, it just didn't work for me. And I'm sorry to say that, because I really do like Greg Rucka. But yeah, 2.
Yeah, I'm glad we saved you for last, so you have time to talk about it and didn't feel like you're just sandwiched between our glowing reviews. No, and I do think it's interesting, because I have this question coming up in my head, like, when you get to that barrier of entry with Cheetah and the story, if this were not a Wonder Woman comic, if this were a Savage Dragon comic, for example, and say it were volume 1 of Savage Dragon that came out 10 years ago, would you as a reader muddle through and figure, I'll figure this out later, I'm sure this will get brought up later, or maybe this is just me getting thrown into the middle of a story? But because it's a Wonder Woman comic, you read this and you're like, there must be some continuity I'm missing and I feel lost.
I don't even think it's about the who, because I read all the time for this podcast comics, which I am not well versed in. And I walk away being like, okay, I don't know that, but it's not like a problem that I don't know. It didn't cause...
The example that comes to my mind is Faith, which was clearly in the middle of some continuity.
Yeah. And I was like, but a lot of comics, like, you kind of just slide in and you're like, okay, I can figure it out from here. And maybe sometimes you have to do a little bit of background research to be like, oh, what happened last issue? Or you should read the front matter to find the summary. But for this one, I didn't feel like it was because it was Wonder Woman. I felt like you could have replaced this with Batman or Superman or Green Lantern or any given character. And I would have been lacking the context to figure out why the main plot was important. And it required more than Googling, like, a couple issues to see what I had missed. And that was, for me, the issue. Because I walk into comics all the time not knowing what the hell is going on, and it's not too bad to figure out or just wait and see what happens. For this one, I feel like I missed the thrust of the entire trade. because of my lack of knowledge.
Okay. All right, that wraps up our Wonder Woman 75 series.
Womp womp.
No, I'm glad, because it's not very often that we get a comic where one of us disagrees, right?
Yeah.
It's very, very often we either universally don't like something or universally like something. It's not often where, like, I'll give something a 4.5, almost would have been a 5, and then you go like, you know what? 2. That doesn't happen often. So I'm glad. There should be comics that exist for different readers and that hit different people in different ways. It should exist.
Yeah, and it's not because I hated this, because sometimes we have that, and, like, one of us will just hate something and the others will love it. But this time it's just different.
And I think fitting in with the discussion of the meta commentary of does canon matter and does continuity matter, I think for somebody like me who comes to this comic knowing some of the continuity and knowing some of the canon, it obviously greatly enriched my enjoyment of the comic and greatly put up a barrier for you. So as part of the discussion of does it matter, obviously it mattered for us. Right? Obviously it mattered for you being difficult to come to this, and obviously it mattered for me really enjoying it. So, you know, that's just like... I appreciate, because that's the discussion we have all the time on canon. That's the pro and the con, right? The pro for canon is that you as a reader, when you bring all of those years of knowledge to a comic, you're bringing so much to it that then the writer can delve into and use and help and manipulate to create a better story for you if you bring the canon. But the con is then the writer is weighed down by that same canon in a lot of ways. So it's good. This works on that level too. I love it. But that does wrap up our Wonder Woman 75. We're going to start an Ego the Living Planet series. Because when David and I figured out that Ego was the villain in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we had to put it on the list. And here it is. We got to it finally. So next week we're going to read Thor, number 160 and 161. This is the straight up original Thor run from 1966. So these two issues are written by Stan Lee with art by Jack Kirby. And we're only doing two issues because if you don't know comics from the 60s, they got themselves a lot of words. So 60 and 61. But bonus reading, if you want to, you can read Thor 62, 68, and 69, which spin right out of the story and tell the origin of Galactus. So there's three more that kind of pull after this one. But for the main point of the show, you just have to read 60 and 61. Have to read. It's your assignment. After that, we're going to read Nova Corps. We're going to read volume 4 of the run by Dan Abnett with Andy Lanning doing the art. And this is
I love it. So good.
This is the Nova Corps. I think they're actually not just Nova fighting Ego. The first one, we get Galactus versus Ego. The second, we're getting Nova versus Ego. And the third one, we're going to read Astonishing Thor, which is a 6-issue run or something like that. It's a standalone trade paperback. So just Astonishing Thor by Robert Rohde. And this has Alter Ego, which is like Ego's evil twin brother.
Ego's the evil one.
It sounds so stupid. So we have to do it. We have to. So yeah. Thor 160, 161 next time. Then Nova Corps. Then Astonishing Thor. If you didn't keep track of that, or do you want to see what we have coming up after that, or check out any one of the previous 295 episodes, go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, click on future shows, click on past shows. There's a crap ton of stuff there. You can contact us, all that kind of good stuff. You can go to our iTunes page and rate us and review us and subscribe and all that kind of good stuff. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. If you subscribe for as little as a penny, you get access to bonus content. As a matter of fact, there might not be an episode next week because I'm going to be busy putting up the bonus content for the patrons. And straight up, just a penny. All you have to do is show that you love us, not even for a monetary amount. Just let us know you're there and you like the show and you get bonus stuff for it. So that's next week. That's going to come out. And then after that will be the Thor 60 and 61. 160 and 161. Patreon.com/welcometocomics. Go. Enjoy it. It's there. And you know what? Just go and look. I'm not going to commit you to paying that penny. You don't even have to. Just go to the page and look. That's all you got to do. All right. I'm excited to do Ego.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun. All right. Until then, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yay, Ego.